God's willing, we finish the first part of the lectures we gave. The first part was we're talking about praying. Prayers, everything regarding praying. The prayers, was it Lord's Prayer? We gave after that how to pray. And then we talked about the exile. We're going to start a new cycle. Talks about the basic things of our faith. We have going to talk about, we will talk, if God's willing, about fasting, cheerful giver, and faith. Today, Rabbina Hayedina, the blessing to hear from Uncle Samuel, the fasting today. Rabbina Ma'aku, pay attention, get a blessing, and we have... No, just to prepare your soul for the fasting. So maybe if we misunderstood what fasting means, he will clarify for us a lot of points.
I thought you meant like we're fasting.
No, not yet.
What was the average on
you
the
can split? Fast whenever you want.
What was the average on this split?
You were the best.
On
the
farm?
You all are
what's the best point of fast?
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the one God, amen. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Okay. Today's topic is about fasting and salvation. It's a little bit long, because I wanted to cover all aspects of it, but hopefully we can breeze through it. Okay, so fasting. We have two concepts of fasting. First one, fasting in special meaning is abstaining from food for a period of time, followed by eating food free from animal fat. So this is something that we should always practice when you fast. Some people just fast, changing food. We'll talk a lot about that later. But really, you should be having a period of no eating at all until a certain time. And that period is always between you and your father of confession. Fasting in its general meaning involves all kinds of piety, holiness, and overcoming the lust of the body. So we hear a lot, Muslim people fast, for example, and they do abstain from food for a long time. But what happens after that? They eat all kinds of things, and not necessarily they have this piety that we're talking about here. They're not, we shouldn't be judging, of course, but we don't see that, at least from some of them. So we need to see how we can do that.
Can you go back?
Sure. So these are the two kinds of fasting. Fasting from food, and then fasting and doing the good deeds, basically. Saint John of Tabasea, he said, fasting for the body is to be hungry for food, but fasting for the soul is to be hungry and thirsty for the righteousness, to fast from evil and to remember sin. Okay, so there's fasting for the body and there's fasting for the soul. The body involves the actual food, but for the soul, it involves your actions. It involves your behavior. It involves to be thirsty for righteousness and to fast from evil deeds and so on. So you have to always keep in mind you're not just a body and you're just eating food. You have a soul that also needs nourishment and also needs practice. It needs to be curbed, needs to be subjected, as we will talk in a little bit. Okay? Alright. St. Paul says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. And then later on, he says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when and I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. This is in 1 Corinthians. So, this is talking basically about the subjecting the body. Subjecting the body and discipline it. And he's talking about race. But it's not just the body, because he's also talking about what? After I preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. From what? It's not just a race. This is not a race that everybody's running. This is an actual race for the soul. He's talking about curbing the souls, preaching others, and then he doesn't want to be disqualified at the end. So we got to talk about fasting and its general meaning first. So let's see. St. Paul, the great missionary and the evangelist of the whole world, who ascended to the third heaven, so unspeakable matters, this great man that we just talked about, labored more than any of the apostles, says these words that we just read, that he needs to discipline himself lest he become disqualified. So is it possible for such a man, such a great man in our Christianity, to be disqualified? Is it possible that you know, if St. Paul becomes disqualified, then what happens to all of us? So this, that's an important thing that we should understand, that even the greatest of saints can fall. No one is greater than falling in sin. Everybody, even St. Paul himself, is trying to curb himself, is trying to watch himself, subjecting his soul so that he's not qualified. So it's not an easy thing. Even saints can falter. So I hear a lot about people who are saved. You know, you talk to somebody, he says, oh, I was saved on this day and this hour. And they were saved in a minute. In fact, Pope Shenouda has a whole book on that. It's called Salvation in a Moment. And, you know, what we just talked about, that how can you say we are saved and be sure that you really reach the kingdom? You're still alive, you still have the body, you still have the lusts, you can fall. So how can you be saved? You know, as if you've taken away the sinful body and don't need to struggle against your body anymore. That's not possible. Because you're still alive, you still have the weaknesses of the body. Or maybe you don't sin at all. You became all of a sudden an angel that doesn't sin anymore. So those scenarios are not possible. So you can't really be saved in a moment. It's a struggle throughout all your life. All our lives we have to struggle so that we become qualified. St. Peter says, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? So think about it. Righteous people are hardly saved. You know, this hardly means they struggle so hard to be saved. So what happens to people who are not righteous, like me and you? You know, those who are not saints, they better really work really hard if they want to be saved. You can't just be saved in a moment like that. Yes.
I don't know if they mean it like that. I feel like they mean it like that's the day that the hour they found Christ, and when they let their old ways go, and now they're living a new life. So I don't know if they feel like that's it. They already made it to heaven. I feel like they feel like now we found the light. Like now we found Christ.
Yeah, but no one talks or mentions anything about the struggle that's continuous all the time. They just say we are saved. It's done. Our Lord Jesus has paid all, they don't even say Lord, they just say Jesus has paid the debt for us, for our sins now, our sins of the future, and this generation, previous, and next generation. So it's done. You don't have to worry about this anymore. What is that? This is a green card for everybody to go and do whatever you want, thinking you're saved, right? There's no struggle here. I don't see any insistence that, yeah, you may have discovered, just like when you bring somebody into Christianity, the first thing we do is what? Baptism and my own. Once they're baptized, just like just said, that all the previous life is erased. Good. Are we done? Yeah, if they die right away, then yeah, good for them. They're going straight to heaven. But as long as they're in flesh, and there's weakness in that flesh, and then there's a struggle every day, every moment to do the right thing. Alright? So that's what we need to understand. Okay. So there is no doubt that the body and its lusts are a strong obstacle in our spiritual life. And in Galatians 5:17, St. Paul mentions about the spirit desires to be with God, and the body pulls it down and hinders its growth. The two are always fighting against each other. Okay? The body fights against the spirit, and the spirit fights against the body. If you are a spiritual person, your body always fighting you, okay? Because your spirit wants to grow, and the body pulls it down. The other way is true. If you are a non-spiritual person, then you're really curbing down your soul and your spirit, and you're not giving it any chance to grow. And the only thing that's growing is your desires and your body and everything. So the two are always fighting each other. And the one, if you are able to control one, which is the body, and grow the spirit, then you will reach your goal. But if you're having problem with that balance, this is where the issue is. Subjecting the body should have priority in our spiritual struggle for a perfect Christian life. We'll take the example of molding an iron. you can melt an iron. You can melt it with fire, right? But you're not going to get it into its the shape that you want it to be, like make a hammer or whatever you want to make it into, unless you hammer it into the shape that you want. What do I mean by that? It's not enough for me to pray. Go into my room and just pray, and be a prayer day and night. That's not enough. You have to also do deeds that show the work of Christ inside you. So, for example, here we say, it's not enough to melt our hearts with the flame of prayer, for example. We have to hammer our hearts with the hammer of fasting and piety. Fasting helps us reach there. If you think about Ambab Shoy, what did Ambab Shoy do? I always bring that example. You remember what did Ambab Shoy do in his cell? Anyone? Yeah. Yeah, he put a rope around his beard, actually, not his neck, otherwise he may choke himself. But he put it around his beard, his hair. Remember, they were hairs and beard are long, so both of them tied up, and he put it in the ceiling. And every time he would snooze, he would wake up, and he would continue praying. Why? Why is he doing that? Yeah. He's subjecting his body. He's trying to put the, not making his body interfere with his prayer. He loves this continuous interaction with God, that he didn't want to be disrupted by his body. So, I mean, we're not in Ambab Shoy's level. Maybe you are, but I'm not. But at least that we should try to control. If, you know, when you stand up and pray, you know, a lot of us 10 minutes, and you know, I'm tired. I gotta sit down, maybe do something. And a lot of people complain of the liturgy too long and all that. Put in front of yourselves those great examples. Why do you want to stand up and pray in front of God. And if your body interferes with you, this is your job now. This is your chance to prove to God and prove to yourself that, yes, I am choosing you, I'm choosing the Lord, I'm choosing the right path so that I grow my spirit and I subject my body. St. Paul says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So if you want to live, that's what you do. St. Paul is very clear about that in Rome 8:13. And David the prophet also says, for thy sake we are killed all the day. All the day. For thy sake we are killed all the day. But you have to understand it's a struggle and it takes a lot, but the rewards are great. The first reward is that you are able to control your body. So many people having this difficulty right now controlling their bodies. Their bodies have taken over. You name it, drugs, alcoholics, even regular regular things that you think it's not necessary to be curbed. Once you get there's something like, for example, smoking, something like smoking. A lot of us, hopefully not smoking, but something like smoking, that's your body taking over. Okay, any habit that's taken over you is really pulling you down. You have to always be in control. You have to always feel that I can stop myself from this if I want to, because I'm in control. My body is not in control of me. I don't give my body anything that they want, that he wants, or that it wants. I decide if this is good or not. Okay? So we continue subjecting the body. St. John Chrysostom says, let me see, did I skip one? Okay, let's do this one first. Piety is the cross that everyone has to carry if we want to follow our Lord Jesus. He that rules his spirit is better than he that takes a city, in Proverbs. It's a great struggle to subdue the body. And if we think about Joseph, for example, Joseph did a lot of good things for the Egyptians when he became the second man in Egypt. He saved them from famine. He saved, you know, not them, but all the countries around them from famine. He stored all the food. He was judging, and he did a lot of good things for Egypt. But all of that, all of the good deeds that Joseph did, do not compare with him controlling himself in front of his master's wife. This was much bigger. This was much harder to do. And this is always looked upon from God as the things that shows how much you love God. Same thing with David. I think I have that example coming up. St. John Chrysostom says, for David not to fight back his enemy, Saul, this was a greater accomplishment than his killing Goliath the giant. Now, some people, killing Goliath, this was a great curse on the Israelites. Goliath was cursing the Israelites and their God. And he was mocking them and telling them, your God doesn't even exist. Where is he? I will fight him. Anybody of you can come and fight me and I will fight you. And everybody was, of course, hiding from him. He was a tremendous guy. For David to do such a great thing, this was, something that all Israelites remembered. And they wanted to make him a king, actually, when he was that young. Then he was actually anointed a king. But Saul didn't let him. And they were fighting, if you remember the story between Saul and David. And to the point that David was very close to where Saul was. And he could have killed him. And he cut a piece of his cloak. to show him that I was there and I could have killed you. And I have this piece from your clothes that show you that I was there, but I didn't, because you are the one anointed from God. And I would not kill the anointed from God. So for him to control himself and not kill Saul and be in control of his actions, that was much greater than killing Goliath. And I want you to understand that, because sometimes we think it's easy. I'm going to control myself. I can still go and out and date and do all these things. I know myself. I can control myself. When it comes to that part, this is the hardest part, to control yourself. And like I said, David, Joseph, for them to be able to do that, and I'm sure there were a lot of other examples, this was much more than the greatest thing that they've done in all their lives. So how did these people get to be able to do these things? One of the important means of subjecting your body is fasting. And so fasting is deprivation from some food, gradually becoming voluntary pious in food. So it's you control yourself from certain types of food, and gradually you don't. This is supposed to be your life. We're not all monks here, but or nuns. But you have to understand that this is not a temporary thing, and I'm waiting, when is this fast is going to be over? No. This is something that helps you to curb yourself, curb your body, and be in control of your own destiny. So it's not weakening of the body, but subjecting it to strengthen the spirit. And that's the difference. I'm not fasting so I can die. If you're sick, and you cannot eat fasting food, you don't need to fast. Of course, this is done between you and your father of confession. Because what are you fasting for? You're fasting to subject your body, to be in control. But if your body is already weak and in control, then you don't need this exercise. You can do other things. And this is, again, as I said, something that should be done with your father of confession. Because he's the one that knows you, and he's the one that can tell if this is a good thing for you or not, and how much of fasting or how little, and so on. So it's not a duty that you're obliged to do. Fasting is not a duty that you have to do, but it's a need. We need it to overcome our bodies so that the Lord may come into our lives and we may be affected by his salvation. If, of course, as we all know, light and darkness cannot come together. Okay? So for the Lord to come into our lives, I have to be clean from inside. I have to be in control of my actions, my lusts, my behaviors, and everything. So if I can do that, if I am able to do that, then the Lord can come and be inside me and affect every word and every action I do. So let's talk a little bit about the importance of fasting in a spiritual life. Our Lord Jesus honored fasting himself by practicing it, and also his sayings in the Old and the New Testaments. We know that Lord Jesus fasted 40 days, and he fasted on other occasions as well. We have one of the important things in fasting also for the spiritual life is that it precedes a lot of the other virtues that you can gain later in your spiritual lives. So you start with fasting, and then you can move into other things in your struggle for your spiritual life. It facilitates other things. You see, if you're not able to control your body, how are you able to gain other virtues? It doesn't, you know, it's like when we say, when somebody comes into the faith, they get baptized first, they come in from the door. This is the door for Christianity. Get baptized, get the Holy Spirit, and then they're able to take other sacraments. Same thing. If you want to climb the ladder of virtues, you got to start at the first step. And the first step is fasting. Because once you are in control of yourself, then you can do other things. The first commandment was that we should not eat a certain type of food. And of course, from this point, the first human beings had fallen. So therefore, all those who want to struggle in God's fear have to start the building from that step. Okay, that's the first step. When our good Savior started his ministry, as I mentioned, he also fasted. So when you look at Moses, when you look at a lot of people, you know, even us, when the church calls for fasting, when you tell Abuna, I want to do certain things, Abuna tells you what? Okay, let's fast and pray, dedicate fast and pray for this subject, and we'll see what God puts in our minds and in our hearts. So it's always the first thing that we should start with. Significance of fasting. Continue. So since fasting is in paradise was important, imagine Adam and Eve were what? Were righteous people before they sinned, right? Yet fasting was important. So if it was important in paradise, it sure is important now. Adam's punishment was death when he disobeyed God and neglected fasting. We see also other important examples in the Old Testament. Moses, Elijah, Esther, they all fasted. And I just put down what Esther fasted for, because I guess maybe not all of you are familiar. She removed the punishment of death inflicted on her people, on the Israelites, by her fasting. Okay? So, fasting with prayer, of course, is able to make great things, made Moses and Elijah's service that much more stronger. We also see other examples. I put in the witnesses for you if you want to go back and read these stories to understand. Daniel and the three youth, remember, the problem was they weren't eating the food that the king has commanded, and they told the king, well, let us eat the fasting food and you'll see if we are fit or not, and you know the rest of the story. So I want you to maybe go back and read some of these things to understand that we're not inventing this fasting. I know that some of the churches right now, fasting is pretty much out of the picture. In fact, some of the Bibles the translation, when I read them, there's a sentence that the verse that our Lord said, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. They took out the word and fasting. Go and look for that verse in some of your Bibles, and if you don't see that, you know that Bible was translated or was published by people who are not necessarily in favor of fasting. I'm sorry, what's the question?
Who's Anna?
Hannah, the mother of Saint Mary. Okay. And there's also Anna, the mother of Samuel in the Old Testament. So we have.
Hannah.
I mean, it all depends. Yeah, it's the same. It depends on the translation. Okay. Nineveh. We remember the story of Nineveh. They were saved when they fasted 3 days, and we still fast until now, and many others. Our Lord Jesus fasted and said, when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, then they shall fast. So that's a clear calling from our Lord that there should be fast at certain times. He also said this kind, here's the verse that I was talking about. This kind does not come forth except by prayer and fasting. So if you want to check one of your Bibles, go to Mark 9:29 and see what it says. And I've seen a lot of translations that don't have "and fasting." They stop at prayers, except by prayers. The Church of Antioch also fasted. You read that in Acts 13 and Acts 27. St. Paul himself fasted so many times. And we read a lot about the life of the saints. Some saints would fast weeks, a whole week, just drinking. Especially the Holy Week, they would fast up the whole week, just drinking, because the body would not live without water for too long. But with food, yes. So you have to understand that fasting was a very important thing in the Old and the New Testament, and it was instrumental in the lives of many people, saints and also our Lord Jesus Christ. So what did the fast do? What is the effects of it? As we just spoke, it saved the people of Nineveh, saved Daniel and the three youths. And St. Augustine says, do you want your prayers to rise up to heaven? Let your prayers have two wings, which are fasting and alms. So fasting also brings up our prayers to heaven, according to St. Augustine. And that's true, because when you are fasting, you're subjecting your body, you're in control, it makes your prayer that much more effective and looked upon by our Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from the heart. There's nothing holding it back anymore. Sorry?
Can you go back one second?
Sure.
I left what he said. It was for a question.
Okay, so I want to move into why do I fast? There's a few reasons. This is the first reason. Food, there's a relationship between food and energy. Lots of food stirs up the lust and abundance of energy and strengthen more than needed. Naturally can lead to anger, killing, adultery, much more than if you're being weak. What do I mean by that? If you eat too much, and especially proteins and fat and meat and all that, you become you have too much energy in your body, because you don't need this much. Okay, the body doesn't need that much. So if you overload it with all these proteins, you become too physical. It may lead to you being angry, and some killings happen because of that, and adultery because you have too much energy, and so on. Much more than if you are weak. If you are weak and controlling your body, it's more manageable. Your body is more manageable. Okay, that is a very important thing to understand between how lots of food and energy can affect your body. Energy is dependent on the quality and the quantity of food. So if you eat too much carbohydrates, for example, may not give you as much energy as if you would eat, for example, proteins and meat and so on. Okay, so quality and quantity is important. So therefore, fasting is a spiritual exercise to bring your body into subjection, and not extra nutrition that may be used in the wrong way. Okay, our bodies doesn't need that much proteins and nutritions, but when you overload it, it can be used in the wrong way. So Saint Cassian said, when the stomach is full of all kinds of food, this gives rise to greediness, and you can't direct your thoughts rightly. Okay? So, that's very important to understand, the same kind of thing. when you have all kinds of food in your stomach, makes you greedy and you can't think properly. And if we read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, it says that Sodom's iniquity, their sin was the fullness of bread. They had too much food. They were just the fullness of bread. That was their problem. So, fasting is a strong bridle. I can eat bridle?
Yeah, on the horses.
Yeah, it's what you put on the horse head so you can control it. You can bring that horse into subjection and you can control the horse where they go, stop them, right and left and so on. So it's a strong bridle for the body. So if you think of fasting as a bridle for the horse, fasting is the bridle for the body. It can make you control your body and direct it in the right way. And we have to understand what Saint Irenaeus said. This is very important. When I fast, does God need my fasting? Does God benefit anything from my fasting? This is for me. It's not for God. I don't fast for God. You know, some people think that way. I'm fasting for God. This is God's fast. No. I'm fasting for myself. I need this fast so that I can control myself, so I can, you know, be able to do other virtues. But Saint Irenaeus said, our Lord God doesn't benefit from our empty stomachs, but this is a mean to preserve chastity. Yes?
Are we like fasting for him in a way? Because, like, say the Lent, we fast for him because he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, like the Virgin Mary, and the Virgin fast, like, we also fast in remembrance of her, even though it's initially for ourselves. Can't it be for, like, both?
Well, okay. It cannot be for both. I mean, you could use the occasion and use the fact that our Lord fasted, so we are doing a similar deed like he did, but he's not doing it for him. He doesn't need it. That's my point. He doesn't need our fast. Okay? If we need the fast because our body's nature is
like
this way.
Sorry? Like the apostles fast. Like, how can we do it at certain times?
Like I said, certain occasions, we use these occasions for our fast so that we can. Our Orthodox Church, because its heritage is so old, and we inherited a lot of good things from our early fathers, they took every chance for us to make a fast. Every chance. The Ninevites fasted, let's make a fast. There was other, like the 3 days before, for the moving of the mountain of Mu'attam, we fast also. You can see there's a lot of fasts that the church put in. Actually, somebody said maybe 2/3 of the year is fasting. So, and why? Why our church pushing for fasting, wants us to fast so much? Because it's good for us. Not because God benefits. No. It's good for us to bring our body into subjection and to help us grow in the spirit. And that's the mistake that other denominations have fallen into. The Catholic Church used to have fasting also, but it has diminished throughout the years. And even for the Great Lent, now it's only, I think, 40 days. And it's not even, you know, they allow some food and certain foods are allowed. I don't remember what it was.
Fasting, they have to remember that they have to fast on Fridays.
Right.
So you can be the image of God wherever you go and
remind
them, they will follow.
Yeah. So we have this Friday and Wednesday all the time.
So, like, there's this kind of like two sides to it. I know some people are like, but God gave you your health, your body, you have to take care of it, you have to provide for it, and all that kind of stuff. And then comes like the monks or the people who are extremely ascetic. And how they don't eat at all, and kind of, so it's, it can kind of makes you think, like, do you have to take care of your body, or do you kind of, like, not?
Again, it's a balance. Right now, let's say we are in this balanced situation. My body and my spirit are on this kind of equal. Now, if one of them is going to go up, if I want my spirit to go up, my body has to go down. Now, how much up and how much down, that's up to each person. Like you mentioned, the monks have taken it to an extra step or an extreme that they really subject their body. Why? Because they want this to go up. They want their spirits to go up. Now, is it wrong to not take care of your body? Of course. However, you're not throwing your body away. Like I mentioned earlier, if you're sick, you don't fast. What is the reason you're fasting? We have to go back to why we fast. We're fasting because we want to train our bodies not to be in control, but I want my spirit to be in control. So if I'm able to bring my body into subjection and control it, and at the same time not let it die, because still it's what God has created for me, still take care of it, still eat some food. When we say fast, we don't tell you, you know, die. I mean, don't eat anything. No, we tell you to eat. Actually, the church has been very generous with the fasting. You got the small fasting for the nativity. You can eat fish. You can eat. I mean, and our ladies are very clever in making siami food that tastes better than futari food sometimes. So I mean, you still can eat. You still can take care of your body, but there's that control part that has to happen.
Can I ask something? Fasting doesn't make your body weak. It doesn't mean that you are ignoring your body and make it weak. If you go back to the Old Testament, people were living before the fasting, before the flood, longer years. Before the flood, they used to eat what? Plants, vegetarians. After the flood, that they start to eat the animals because the ground was flooded with water. There was no vegetables to eat. And that's when the sins start to go in, and that's when they start to live less. So actually, the food that you are eating, which too much protein, as Uncle said, and too much fat, it does cause a lot of diseases in your body. So fasting actually does not make you weak and does not make you ignoring your body health. If you go to speak to a dietitian, we have a dietitian in our shop, right? She always asks, decrease your fat, decrease the amount of protein, add more vegetables, add more fruits. It does give you the health and the strength. So fasting actually can make you more stronger and healthier than during non-fast. Sorry.
No, that's exactly correct. And as I mentioned earlier, also the three youth with Daniel, the prophet, they wanted to fast and they didn't want to eat what the king said that you have to eat. And, you know, after a certain period of time, they were better than those who were eating all the other foods. Okay. I think we covered the rest of the slide. Let's go to the next one. Number four, fasting paves the way to virtues and gifts. We touched upon this before. Being the starting point of the spiritual road, it leads to other virtues. And I took a couple of examples here. The bird. The wind can lift up the bird's feather as long as nothing is sticking to it. If the feather is heavy with dirt or something, then it wouldn't. If it's wet, for example, or has dirt, the wind cannot lift it. So this is an example of, for example, purity. If a person is pure enough, then you're not heavy with all these sins. You feel the light. You can come to church and you can go take communion, and you're inside you. You feel ready. You feel ready because you're inside you, you're pure. Again, the green plant doesn't catch fire immediately. So this is So that means this plant is resilient to catch fire immediately. If I am a green plant means what? I'm nourished in a church. I have fluids inside me, which is, again, the nourishment from the church. I'm not going to easily fall in sin. I have some resiliency built in me. Not just like a twig that's dry, and you put some fire to it, right away it falls into the fire. No, I can fight sin. That's what this means. I can fight sin a little bit stronger than a dry plant who's not nourished by the teachings and the rites of the church. Fasting also rectifies the body and trains the senses. And I took again the example of St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 9:27, when he says, I discipline my body. In some other translation, it says, I keep under my body, instead of discipline. And it's really the same thing. But I like the translation, keep under, because this is what was done in the early, and actually still until now, it's done by nations to keep under the revolutions. And the body truly revolts against you. If you're not careful, your body can really give you a hard time. And you can really, he can really revolt against you, and you can just give in. Okay. You can't control it anymore if you're not careful. So nation capture those who are revolting, and put them in prison in order to keep under any revolution and avoid the revolutions in the future. So we have to understand that this is a practice that's proven until now. What happens to those leaders that are against a certain political system? They're put in prison a lot of times. Maybe not in the U.S., but in other places. Political prisoners, that's what they are. In China and other places. They have to keep them under. They have to curb them so that their system grows. Same thing. You're doing the same thing with your body. You got to keep it under, because otherwise it will revolt against you and sin will really control you. Fasting captures our bodies and senses by not giving them the things that they desire. And besides its training to the body and senses, it leads to purity of the soul. Number six, fasting gives us willpower. Adam sinned because his will had weakened when confronted with outside temptation. So why do we sin? Any person sins either because he is deceived by the temptation, you have been deceived by somebody, or your will has been broken. It weakened towards lust and cannot fight the temptation. And that gives us the importance of the willpower. I have much more willpower if I am fasting and I'm controlling myself and my body. Why the people that, for example, take drugs don't have willpower anymore to stop drugs? For the same reason. They are being controlled by their own desires for these things that have totally overtaking them. And they have no control anymore in their bodies. Okay? So this just gives you an example. And I'm not just talking drugs and things like that. Your habits, your sins can be much more than drugs. And you may not be able to control those things if you're not careful. Fasting, especially when skipping breakfast, is one of the best means for strengthening the willpower. When we fast, we overcome the desires of food, gradually overcoming the lust of the body. And I mentioned breakfast here because in the morning, you're hungry for something to keep you going and eating and doing what you usually do. But if you are able to curb that, it gives you, like on Sundays, we all skip breakfast, right? We come to church, those who come to the later liturgy, yeah, second liturgy, you are able to control yourself. And I want to, maybe it's coming later, but I'll mention it now. Think about Holy Thursday and Holy Friday. We don't eat until very late, right? Why are we able to do that? And regular days we can't. We've been fasting for a long time, so we have trained ourselves. And when we are busy, and I'm going to speak about that in a minute, we are busy with something. Your mind is busy with something, prayer and so on. So you're not necessarily thinking about food. I'll touch on it later. So how do we fast? Controlling the lust of the soul. So the first thing, we fast to control the lust of the soul. Fasting is not just a change of food, but a change of heart. Very important. The type of food is not the issue here. It's something that helps you to change your heart. Okay? Like I said, the type of food, we can make much better food than sorry food. But it's the change of heart that we're after here. Also, fast in humility. Because fasting should be accompanied by repentance, sorrow for sins and iniquities, and intention to seek a more spiritual life. It's kind of like confession. When you come to confess, you should have that intention in your mind that there is a wall have been created between me and God through the sin that I meant. And I'm coming to destroy that wall. I'm coming to confess and take that wall, and I want to seek a better life. And that's why I come to confess. I have to come with that intention. I have to come with that desire to leave my past and lead a better life. Fasting, accompanied by that feeling, is very important. Again, it's not just food. Remember, I mean, this is really the mistake that a lot of people fall into. Fasting and period of abstinence. As we mentioned on this before, every fast has to have a period of abstaining from food. Then you eat food free from animal fat. And this is to continue on with the controlling of the body and staying away from the extra nutrition and so on. The period of abstinence, again, with your is the foundation of fasting. You're depriving yourself. And I talk a little bit about nowadays there's much better food that's fasting. And we really miss the point by doing that. If we are very clever in making yummy food that tastes really good. I hear about gibna siyami, I hear about lahma siyami. Why are we fast? Why are we fasting then? I mean, there's no point. We really miss the point when we do that. In Judges, there was a period of abstinence, and that period was until the evening. And we should also mention that Moses, Nineveh, and our Lord also did not taste anything during their fast time. Moderation in fasting. And I also touched on this a little bit earlier. Fasting is not obligatory, okay, to everyone. This should be discussed with your father of confession, especially concerning the period of abstinence. The kinds of food. We have the kinds of food by tradition. We know what they are. And also it's mentioned in Ezekiel 4:9. It says, also take for yourself wheat, barley, beans, lentil, millet, and spelt, and so on. So it's mentioned some of these things that we eat during fasting time. Fasting doesn't weaken the body. And that comes to your earlier question. About weakening the body. It doesn't have less nutrition, but we get hungry fast because our senses are all centered in our bodies. When our stomachs gets empty, we feel its emptiness very quickly because we have nothing else to worry about. We're not in tune with anything else. And I mentioned here during the holy days, for example, a person who is busy with divine matters doesn't feel the hunger early because the body is not his center of attention. You come and you say Thoptetigum all day and you're praying and you're reading and you're meditating every hour about what happened to our Lord and how much he suffered for my own sins. And you know, you're involved, and the church helps us to be involved and be part of this prayer. And this is why you can feel, you can go through the day and sometimes you go home and you're not hungry. You don't really eat that much because you're full. You feel like you really had a spiritual meal, a very big one, during, for example, Good Friday. In Psalm 63, I will lift up my heart in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Now try to speed up. I know I took a little bit more. Fasting and spiritual exercises. It's a preliminary step towards accomplishing spiritual exercises successfully. For example, another important exercise is keeping silent. So if I fast, it's easier for me to do another virtue, which is to keep silent if I need to. Okay? This is a virtue, by the way. Do you know who was famous for that virtue? Keeping silent? Huh? No?
I was going to say
Buenos. Maybe, but there's one, somebody else. Saint Arsenius, very good. Saint Arsenius was very famous for that. He used to do what? Anybody remember that story? He put a rock under his tongue so that he doesn't speak. And a lot of times you can learn a lot by not speaking, by just listening. Anyway, fasting and giving alms, they go together. Prayer, fasting, and giving alms are the center of our Christianity. The Sermon on the Mount gives us three basic factors. And strengthening the hand of the poor, which is giving the alms and the needy, also mentioned in Ezekiel and Isaiah. So, in conclusion, let's just go through these point by point, and that's the last slide I have. Don't give yourself an excuse that you cannot fast. Some people look for any type of disease that may be removed to any, you know, that they may have had, and it doesn't really affect them anymore. But hey, I got that. I can go to Abuna and get the absolution for that. You're looking for an excuse. Don't give yourself excuses that you can't fast. Don't desire specific kinds of food, even during non-fasting time, even during Qatari time. Don't desire certain types of food. Boy, I love that chocolate. Or I love this type of meat. Or I really love this. You know what? I used to have a friend. He used to love food. He used to love eating food. And he would eat food even on Eid. For Ayam al-Fitari, for Lilt al-Eid, this is his favorite plate, is to eat food. What is that? This is not controlling your desire for a specific kind of food. To me, this is Fitari. He's always Fitari. Do you understand? Where is the control here? There's no control. He just happened to love beans, which is a yummy food, but it's a certain type. So, don't desire a specific kind of food. Consult your father of confession, of course, about everything, about fasting in general, and about certain types of fasting, abstaining, and so on. If you're sick, your body is already subdued, so your goal has been achieved. You don't need the fasting. You may need other virtues that you should do. So we're not asking people to kill themselves here. If you're sick, again, with your father of confession, you can get the direction. Fast not only by food, but also from sin and evil, anger, judgment, lust, and so on. That's really the whole center of our topic. Okay? This is really the most important part. I'm not just fasting from food. I should change my life. There's a verse in St. Paul said that we should change. I don't have the exact quote, but it says by the renewal of our mind. Renewal. It means our mind has to be renewed altogether. I have to have a different direction altogether. Meditate while fasting. Remember in the occasions why you're fasting. And make your fast acceptable by presenting it free from evil and hypocrisy. Right? May the Lord help us to present to Him an acceptable fast. Glory to God forever. Amen. I'll take some questions if you like. Again, I apologize for the long topic, but I did want to cover a few things. Yes? Talk to your father of confession. Yes.
I think the type of meat matters. If you like organic, if you eat chicken that was angry its whole life, then the angry hormones and stress hormones come into you also. If you eat chicken that wasn't angry when it was grown, when they raised them.
Wait, why would eating an angry chicken eat
an angry chicken? Organic versus like the way they treat the chicken.
I mean, there's gonna be angry.
So you're saying
they don't raise them when it's growing up, they abuse it.
So organic chicken is raised differently.
They raise it nicer.
Okay, that's a new thing for me. Okay, yeah, it's better, of course. Yeah.
Why is the pastor the
more pious, more diet. You're trying to, like, for example, the important guys. The question is, why do we eat fish in some fasts, and why in others we don't? Some people. Even the fish that the church says, even the fast that the church says that you can eat fish, they don't. An example is the fast of St. Mary. Okay? Some people fast that fast with no, only bread and salt. It's the degree of piety that you want to achieve. Okay? The church would like certain fasts, for example, the Lent days, Wednesday and Fridays, those days to be to give you a more stringent exercise. Okay, you may take it further, like those people who do St. Mary's fast and do even more. And the monks, some monks fast all year. Okay, so it all depends on how much you can do. This is just what the church put out, let's say as a minimum. You can do more if you like.
Why does the church pick the fast like the way we fast? Why
did
they pick no meat and
no
dairy?
Why did they pick?
No meat and no dairy. Why did they pick that one?
Because, again, meat and dairy gives you that extra nutrition, extra protein. It's not helping you in your goal to subject your body. So it's giving you, it's telling you, stay away from these high, hyper things that makes it difficult for you to control yourself. Yes. Any other questions? Okay,
thank you very much. We all got a lot of benefits from it. Thank you so much. Let me tell you a small story, كده quick. I know, and I'm from Malish, I'll talk to you for 10 minutes. What Uncle Samuel said today, really, it does affect a lot. If you know me, I'm a pharmacist in Shoprite. Can you imagine when you fast on Wednesday and Friday and you smell the cookie and the muffin and the chicken cooked over there? Big temptation. Right? I cannot move the whole pharmacy. So really it's a big temptation. But you have to remember, I need that. I need to fast. I need to overcome the bug. But it's really a struggle. And you can win through the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not by yourself. If you count on yourself alone, you will fall down quick. What the Bible said, a bride comes before a fall. Hello, Barco, quite awi awi awi. There are small foxes comes
all the time. And when you start to bring the fruits, you know, the grapes actually, or if you have a farm, you have a fruit, the flower first. The flower comes and the flower has a good smell. So the foxes are waiting to see the flower you have. Once you start to have a flower, the small foxes come. So pay attention to the small foxes, ya habab. It does affect every single one, no matter how saintly you are. They come to do the karma, to the farm first. You know, the small fox doesn't come to the fruit right away. They come to the farm to check it. Yeah, the foxes eat your fruits and your vegetables in your farm. They destroy the whole farm. And I ignore him and ask him. Couple of things. First of all, some people are still ignoring my text message. See? Some are still ignoring my text message. I don't like to be ignored. Yes, you did. Thank you so much. After a year and a half. Good job. Yeah, you text me. Now, I said some, not all of you. Some are still ignoring me. Don't ignore me. ماشي عشان احيانا انا بطلع من التليفون. في حاجه مهمه قوي عايزه اقول لكم عليها, معلش عشان تبقى يا مونيكا, معلش شويه معايا انا سيبيها شغلي معايا. الكلاس هنا start by what grade? 10th grade. في حاجه مزعلاني, ولما انا بزعل بقعد اكتب حاجات كتير قوي, ما تزعلونيش. 10th grade when you are here يا حبايب, I don't want you to have the bride in your heart. I'm in a serve and break class, and you deal not in a humble way with the others in 10th grade or 9th grade during Sunday school on Friday. God give you the blessing علشان تدخلوا serve and break class, and not all of you, and we said that before, not everyone enter the class will be a servant. Some of us, I'm one of them, I'm not a servant. I'm coming here to wash the feet. Look at the picture you have on your binder. A servant is someone washing the feet. Do not ever have this thought or the devil's thoughts or attack any one of you, that you are better than anyone. You look down to them in a bad way, or you don't help them, especially those who are in 9th grade. 9th grade entered the high school, ya habayib. You have to be the helper to them. You have to be a great role model, an example to them. Not to look down at them. Oh, they're 9th grade. You were 9th grade before. And, oh, I'm in servant prep. I'm not, I said, what a good Friday night. Come on, I'm going to be a servant. No. Don't have this feeling, ya habayi. Please, عشان خاطر ربنا. Try to always humble yourself in front of God. God raise you up. God resists proud. Okay? But give grace to the humble. Remember this verse, حطوها قدامكم عشان ربنا protect all of you. Do we see someone missing?
Yes.
Who?
Uncle Adel.
Exactly. The most important one in here, Uncle Adel. Uncle Adel had a surgery last week on Wednesday, and I need all of you to keep praying for him. God will heal him quick, and he's a very important member of our class. He always gives us from his time without waiting for any reward or anything. So please remember him in your praying. And if you see Tante Eva, his wife, by the way, ask about him. Right? It's a good thing. Remember our donation box? It's sitting outside. Whoever would like to donate money, you'll be more than welcome, but do not take money out of the box. Thank you. Not yet. The retreat. Who is going to the retreat for the 3 days? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Who is going for 1 day Saturday? Whoever is going for 1 day only Saturday, the $60 and your permission has to be given to Fadi Ibrahim today, please. Before you leave. Okay. في حاجة مهمة قوي في الريتريت. It is not a high school retreat. It is not a college retreat. Are we clear about that? Good. مش عايزة complaints تيجي من سيرفن بريبتلاس.
عشان انا I will be shoved by ابونا totally. انا don't like to be shoved. ماشي؟ حلو عشانكم عشان هرجع revenge on you على طول. ماشي؟ clear؟ ماشي؟ harder test. That's number one. Thanks for reminding me. Good, good point. الريتريت ده اسمه servant retreat. يعني servant are waiting for that retreat علشان يروحوا يفيل up their empty cups. And also the servant prep class has a power to help the other junior servant to take care of the younger children who are going with their family. So please, عشان خاطر ربنا, help them around. Oh, don't say, I'm not going to watch those kids. They're horrible. They don't fit.
Wait, so
they don't listen either. That's the service. Right? So don't do that. Okay? ما ليش حد مثلك الوقت؟ ضرب. مش يا مارك؟ مش عارف ايه؟ خلوا بالكم من عيالكم انا مش دعم. Michael Samuel, whoever would like from the gentleman to receive any emails for PowerPoint, to be emailed direct to him, give your email to Michael Samuel. From the ladies, give your email to Marianne Kariakos. She can email you the PowerPoint right away if you want to receive it as an attach in the email. حد عنده أي question?
No.
طنط كريستين عندك أي إضافة تحب تقولها لنا? في أي حاجة? خلاص حد ممكن ماريان فين ذا باور بوينت خلاص يا حبايب ممكن نقعد نصلي كويس عشان نخش التسبيحه